Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The gap between what we are producing and consuming domestically in terms of beef in the U.S. is the widest it's ever been.
Mike Castle is with StoneX.
So we're having to ramp up imports to a record level to, you know, kind of offset that gap to make up for that shortfall. And USDA does expect a bit of a drop into 2027 there, but they pegged it at 6 billion pounds, which, again, is just below what would be an all-time high here in 26. So I don't think this is a conversation that goes away quickly, especially if you throw in this added caveat of, beef potentially getting included in a deal to China, like on the export side of things. Things are obviously more than tight enough here, the potential opportunity to see exports there. So, we kind of hear these back and forth rumors. I'm not sure where it sits now, but of additional tariffs on Brazil being removed to ramp up more imports there. It's still kind of a question mark. I think that's kind of what's driving the futures market lower for what it's worth. But at the same time, again, a fresh update on actual fundamentals from USDA. Things are staying very, very tight here in the States.
Now, U.S. beef exporters received an important market access signal from China after hundreds of overdue plant registrations were extended. U.S. Meat Export Federation says China's customs agency granted five-year registration extensions to 425 overdue U.S. beef establishments, and they added 77 new ones as well. China's been a high-value beef market, especially for cuts and variety meats that help add carcass value. U.S. Meat Export Federation previously said China access is important for maintaining value across the carcass, even with the tight U.S. supplies. Now, speaking of China, U.S. Ag came out of that Trump Xi summit in Beijing with fresh purchase signals, but not a detailed commodity-by-commodity agreement. Reuters reports U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer said the U.S. expects China to buy double-digit billions in American farm goods annually over the next 3 years. Greer said the expected purchases would be broader than soybeans alone. He also pointed to China's earlier commitment to buy 25 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans per year. That's roughly 919 million bushels annually. In addition, Reuters reporting Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said soybeans were all taken care of, cooling expectations for a higher soybean target. But traders watching whether China adds new old crop purchases or waits until later in the year. Small business optimism remained below average in April. Labor problems continue to weigh heavily on rural employers. National Federation of Independent Business says its Small Business Optimism Index increased slightly, but it's still below its 52-year average. Labor quality ranks as the top concern. In rural communities, that problem often comes down to numbers. There are fewer people in the local workforce, which means an even smaller pool of skilled workers for repair shops. And inflation adding more pressure. The NFIB says 30% of owners raised average selling prices in April. 27% plan to raise prices over the next 3 months. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I still can't get past, it doesn't look like a regular recession. They're not describing a regular recession. So we're all still just trying to make up, trying to figure out what is the appropriate action.
Austin Goolsbee is president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago.
And it's why the ChatGPT is not going to replace the FOMC anytime soon. It's rooted in the LLMs are rooted in the past. And there is a fundamental way in which what we're seeing now is extremely unusual, is almost unprecedented. And so the lessons of the past, they're at best cousins. They're definitely not identical twins, and they're probably not even siblings. There's a future impact and there's a right now impact. Let me just state, in the right now impact, I am a skeptic that almost anything that we've seen in the job market or in the economy is due to AI, because the hiring rate is extremely low. And anytime the hiring rate is low, the most impacted group is going to be new graduates, because they're disproportionately trying to get hired. So there's a lot of pain in that environment. And any of us who are parents of teenage and college age kids know the stress associated with that. I still think that other than very directed sectors, like within parts of the tech sector, I think the overall hiring rate for young people being low cannot be explained by AI. It's just the adoption of AI has not been big enough to explain what's been happening. I think those are deeper factors. As we look out over a longer run, I would say economists and the technologists themselves almost always end up on crossways on the what will be the historic impact of new technologies. Back in like 2017 or 2018, there was a now famous in this world meeting on the economics of artificial intelligence that took place at the University of Toronto. And they brought in a group of extremely high-powered economists and a bunch of the leading technology people. And as I characterized the entire, it was a fascinating conference, but the entire thing was, technology person gives a paper that says, the robots are going to be so amazing. They're going to be better than humans at every single thing, and nobody's going to have a job. And then an economist will give a paper and say, every other time in the last 1,000 years that this thing replaced them, that opened up new types of business, and it made us richer. And so it's going to be fine. And then the technology person would say, no, you don't understand how amazing this is going to be. It's going to wipe out everything. And then they say, no, you don't understand. It's going to grow. I'm still more in that economist camp that if you look at the big general purpose technologies, as we call them, telephones, computers, the internet, electricity, there is disruption. I'm not saying there's not disruption, but over even the medium term, not just the long run, they generate far more jobs than they destroy, and they facilitate incomes going up. So I think that is how it is going to play out. It doesn't make it any less disruptive if it happens really quickly, that people got to retool and figure out what they're doing.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
It has been a big week.
Caitlin Glover is Executive Director for the Public Lands Council in Washington, D.C.
Earlier this week, we saw the Bureau of Land Management act on two massive priorities for these public lands producers. And, you know, the ripple effects are going to be felt across the country. When the Biden administration finalized the public lands rule, the prior version had been called the Conservation and Landscape Health Rule, but the final version was just called the Public Lands Rule. They finalized that rule in 2024, and immediately PLC and our partners stepped forward with a legal challenge to that rule because we believed that it was illegal, it was ill-founded, and it would be bad for public lands across the West. It would be bad for public lands writ large, right? Not just grazing on public lands, but this concept of multiple use management, where the agencies are supposed to manage these lands for complementary and balanced multiple uses. That means things like recreation grazing should be able to coexist or exist productively in the same spaces because of the way the government manages them. Under the public lands rule from the last administration, they would have established a brand new leasing system, not authorized by Congress, established a new prioritization, putting some uses over others, that really would have disadvantaged the longstanding expectation and legal agreements that grazing permittees had with the Bureau of Land Management. And BLM manages about 155 million acres of grazing land across the West. And so this was a pretty significant deal. This week, the Trump administration rolled back that Biden rule. They have completely rescinded it. That rescission is going to go into effect in early June. And I'm sure that you're going to be hearing me celebrate from there when that rule goes officially into the category of having the full force and effect of law. But you know, there's also another update this week that is crucial. We have for three decades wanted the BLM to update BLM grazing regulations. This is the sort of the toolkit, the rule book for how the agency manages grazing on those 155 million acres. The 1995 regulations, which have essentially been the rules of the road since 1995, those were developed in a time immediately following an environmental activist campaign that they called Cattle Free by 1993. That campaign was designed to remove livestock grazing from federal land. And so when the final rule on grazing rules went into effect just 2 years later, we saw things that were really, really harmful for grazing permittees across all of these states. This week, the Bureau of Land Management issued the first set of and most substantive set of regulatory updates, proposed updates to this rule since the early 2000s. And this, you know, it's a proposed process. It's a process that we will be engaging in over the next several months. But establishing more ability, establishing some updated science and updated way we do analysis on the rangelands, making sure that process manages on the matches on the ground realities. It's great news. So like I said, it's been a big week.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We are special in this regional aspect.
Austin Goolsbee is president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago.
Similar to how Europe is set up, but they aren't regions, they're different countries. But every economist, I was a research economist 30 years at the University of Chicago before I came to the Fed, close to unanimous among economists that it's extremely important that your central bank not be subject to interference from the sitting government. Because it could be theory, but mostly it's based on just look around the world in countries and at times when the central bank is not independent. You know what happens. The administration presses cut the rates. If inflation comes roaring back, that'll be the next person's problem. And so there must be some function of the central bank that is able to maintain independence and base the decisions on what the actual economic conditions are.
Talks about the challenge of navigating challenges.
It can be a trade-off, or sometimes it's going great and it doesn't have to be a trade-off. Okay, so you got in a normal business cycle, let's call it, as you go into recession, employment goes down and inflation goes down at the same time. So the Fed says, okay, let's cut the rates and try to bump them, but heat it back up. Or if the economy starts overheating, employment is high, but inflation is also high. So you try to slow it down. The hardest moments for any central bank are when you get things going, both sides going wrong at the same time. A stagflationary shock. We've faced a little bit of that. We tend to think of high oil prices. Oil prices rising, do that. Industry, the auto companies, the farmers, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Our costs are rising. We're going to have to reduce employment. At the same time, prices are going up. And now we're in a very uncomfortable almost not even a trade-off. You're just in a very uncomfortable situation and there's not an obvious cookbook of should we heat or should we, you know, heat things up or cool things down. It's not obvious which way to do it.
Does he give any credence to those who are critical of the Fed?
If there are critiques of the Fed or there are analyses of how the economy is doing from smart people, I try to go figure out where their head is. It pains me, and I made a face when you said 4% inflation. Yikes. If we've been above the 2% target for 5 years consecutively now, and we were making progress. We were way high. Oh, I'm doing it backwards. We were making progress. Then we kind of stalled out, and now it's been inching itself up the other way. So we got down almost to 2%. Now it's been 3%, and if we're headed to 4%, that's not a stable. The longer you go and the higher you are above the 2% target, the more it just gets ingrained into cost-plus contracts where people come down and they say, well, if inflation is going to be 5%, I need a wage increase of 6%. And then the business says, if we got to pay wages increases of 6%, we got to raise prices 7%. And That's a very uncomfortable situation for the central bank or for anyone.
Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Pre-2019, the Andersons were very heavily, almost 100% Eastern Corn Belt dominated at around 175 million bushels of grain elevator capacity.
Bill Krueger is president and CEO of the Andersons.
Fast forward to today, we're at 300 million bushels of elevator capacity, split equally Eastern Corn Belt versus Western Corn Belt. You tie that in with our merchandising, and you hear us talk about a diversified portfolio. We have taken risk off the investor's plate by truly diversifying the Andersons grain and grain products business through recent transactions and, more importantly, the Skyland investment. The basis for us is our meat and potatoes. We feel like we have a right to win. We feel like basis trading is a competitive advantage. We now believe as an organization that we're able to quickly react as market conditions change in the Eastern Corn Belt versus the Western Corn Belt. And so specifically to this year, we had an interesting phenomenon coming out of fall harvest. We had a lot of export demand. We had a lot of pulls on our Eastern corn, wheat, and soybeans. That allowed us to spin our capacity more than we traditionally would. We didn't just fill it up, hold it, and carry it. The market said, we need it. You've bought it. We need it. That's, quite honestly, pretty unusual. We took advantage of that in Q4. I mean, that is one of the largest reasons our Q4 earnings were so strong. In the West, we had a large corn crop. You know, the last year's record corn crop, for the most part, the Eastern Corn Belt was average. All the excess corn was produced in the Western Corn Belt. Pretty good year to have the Skyland assets. We're very close to nearing completion on our Houston export terminal. It's going to come in two phases. Late May, early June will be completed with an upgrade to our grain export capacity. Likely late September will be completed on a soybean meal export capacity, which hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about. I think that's going to be an excellent add for the Andersons, where we're adding soybean meal or soybean crush capacity, primarily in the Western Corn Belt. It's going to funnel right to Houston. We should have a competitive advantage versus some of our other export partners. So that is one that we've talked about a lot. We've talked a lot, maybe less than Houston, but continued growth in our food processing and feeding the CPG companies, the pet food companies with clean corn. Our facility in Brantford, Ontario is running today on wheat cleaning. We haven't really used that as a headline because it's been something where we want to, crawl before we walk, walk before we run.
Right.
But we feel like we're creating some core competencies there. And then lastly, everywhere that we can add organic ethanol capacity at our current plants at economic values, we're going to continue to run out, whether that's technology or capacity. 30 million gallons is what we have announced to date.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
What I see is some weakness. We came through 2023 with inflation raging. That's when I came into the Fed. So I tend to mark everything to pre and post January 9th, 2023, because that's when I showed up. Inflation's way above the target.
Austin Goolsbee is president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago.
We have a 2% inflation target. We're way, way above that target. And unemployment is extraordinarily low by historic terms. So it's kind of obvious in an environment like that, we need to raise the rates. And we need to raise the rates a lot because we've got to slow down inflation and we've got a very large cushion. The job market is as hot as it's ever been. Inflation comes down a fair amount, almost as much as it's ever come down in a single year in 2023, without a recession. And that's virtually unparalleled. The only times previously that inflation has come down that much have been accompanied by either the Paul Volcker era or other times, very severe contractions of the economy are how they got inflation to go down. Then we come to the nearer peer. So inflation falling, unemployment drifting upward, but still objectively pretty low. Then we start to lose the margin of error and it gets a little tighter. As the tariffs begin, that's the first of a stagflationary direction shocks to hit the economy. The hope is slash was that tariffs would just be a one-time thing. And that whatever inflation was coming from tariffs, it would go away. It would be transitory. That the inflation would be transitory. My concern at this immediate time is that we've got to get our heads around an oil shock, which is going to drive up prices in a stagflationary way, potentially, before the other one has gone away. So the prices spiked from tariffs and they were supposed to go away. And this is now hitting before that went away. And that's eerily reminiscent of that period where the COVID supply shock damage happened, driving up inflation. And then the war breaks out in Ukraine before that's fixed itself. And it's another supply shock on top of it. So how persistent this is going to be, I think, is going to have a major impact on how you view the economy. I think the job market is basically stable, but not great. Unusual in that there's very low hiring, which feels like a recession, but there's very low layoffs, which normally is the opposite of a recession. So it's a strange for those both to be happening at the same time. I think it's from uncertainty. I think that's what happens when businesses are uncertain and they say, we're just going to sit on our hands until we figure out, is this going to be a temporary shock? Since the 70s, if you're old enough, you might remember the awful economic outcome from high oil prices in the 70s. We've gotten less oil using as an economy since then, and we've become a much bigger energy producer since then. So if this sustains, there is likely to be at least some part of the economy that's rebounding and producing energy. But summary, I'm cautious / nervous about it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.